Are you authentic? Do you really care for people? Are you serving people? Are you more like the generic label? I'm a Christian by title. I'm not really a servant by heart. I'm just one of those ones that you slap the label on. So we're going to compare name brand things with store brand or generic things. And I have a couple examples for you. Some of these you'll really, really enjoy. So one thing I found is Fruit Loops. Who here loves Fruit Loops? Who here grew up on Fruit Loops? I love, yeah, exactly. I see some hands raising. Fruit Loops are incredible. Did you grow up on Fruit Loops, the real thing, or how about here's the generic store brand thing? Unicorns. Unicorns, this is the generic store brand. Please don't be a unicorn, okay? I'm just asking you. I don't know who came up with this in the marketing department. Fruit Loops and unicorns, completely different thing, right? But my question to you is, when other people see you, are you the real deal? Do they see someone serving Jesus? Do they see someone authentic, like the Fruit Loops box? Or do they see someone who's a unicorn, okay? Someone who just has that Christian label, but there's nothing there. There's no meat. There's nothing behind the bones, in a sense. They're not serving people, and they're not encouraging people. Are you more of a Fruit Loop in that sense, or are you more of a unicorn? Okay. I got a couple other things. I went in the beverage section. I got Sprite. Who here enjoys a good Sprite every now and then, right? Sprite's a good thing. Sprite's a great thing. You could be a Sprite, you can be the real deal, you could be authentic thing, or let me show you what I found back here. You can be Twist Up, right? You could be the Twist Up, the knockoff. And by the way, there's a big difference in price between Twist Up and Sprite. This is like 87 cents. They're almost giving this away with a coupon. And I don't know what the marketers came up with. What Twist Up? It sounds close to messed up, right? Like, why would you want to drink something that's Twist Up and messed up? When I was walking by, I'm like, this, I got to get this because this is Twist Up and messed up. But when other people see you, are you authentic? Are you the real deal? Do you serve other people? Do you encourage other people? Are you Twist Up or are you messed up? Okay, you simply have the label, but there's nothing of support or substance behind you. Now, this is my all-time favorite, okay? I was walking along, and this is my all-time favorite. I got one more for you. So I was walking in the cleaning products, and I found these scrub sponges. Now, these are the name brand, the scrub sponges, okay? How many of you guys use something very similar to this when you're scrubbing things out in your sink or you're cleaning things or whatever, okay? So this is the name brand. This is the generic brand. I kid you not, okay? This is literally called the Scrub Daddy, okay? The original Scrub Daddy. I have to get this for Sunday morning because it's ridiculous. It's the Scrub Daddy. But my question to you is, do you have Scotch, the name brand? When other people see you, are you the authentic real deal or do they see you as the Scrub Daddy, okay? Do they see you as someone who isn't the real deal, who doesn't have substance and isn't serving people? It's pretty simple, Legacy Church. There's a big difference between the name brand stuff and the stuff that's the store brand stuff. And we all know this, right? It might look the same. It might, in a sense, almost taste the same, but it doesn't really have the same substance. When people see us, do they see us as authentic believers in Jesus, willing to serve other people, or do they see us as unicorn, twisted up scrub daddies, right? Is that what they see us? And we might laugh about it, and it might be kind of funny, but in the Church of Jesus, when it comes to heaven or hell, when it comes to life or death, this is a big deal. Because there's a lot of people I talk to who say, I'm not a Christian, because a lot of people who call themselves Christians are the unicorn, twisted, scrub daddy type, okay? They have this label, but they don't really mean it at the heart level. And for Legacy Church to be the church that God calls us to be, we have to be people that love Jesus, and to love Jesus, it means that we have to serve other people. Here's one final thing I want you to think about. Christianity is not a spectator sport. Service is an action. If you call yourself a believer in Jesus, you can't do so on the sidelines. It's impossible to do so. Serving is a verb. You have to do it. You have to go. It means something. Service is an action. Look at John chapter 13, verse 17, and we just read this passage of Scripture. This is Jesus talking about serving. He says, now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. In other words, now that you guys have been enlightened to the benefits of serving, to the requirements, in a sense, for serving, for the motivation of serving, you'll be blessed if you do them. It's not something we can say, good message, Pastor Dan, but I'm not going to serve. That was really profound. That really challenged me, but I'm not going to serve. Christianity is not a spectator sport, and service is an action. This is especially true. Your greatest message in life will be spoken by your life and not by your lips. Straight up question, straight up statement. You know, the funny thing is, Legacy Church, we just celebrated our three-year anniversary. And you can go on our website and you can listen to some different messages from Pastor Dan. I mean, you have hours, right? You've heard a lot of what Pastor Dan has to say. The question is are you hearing what I'm doing as a person, as a believer in Jesus? It's one thing to listen. It's another to actually see what someone is doing. Actions always speak louder than words. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, Peter says it this way. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. So if you give your heart and soul to Jesus, this is true of you. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. In other words, God has gifted each person here with a spiritual gift. If you've given your heart and soul to Jesus, God has gifted you in some way, some shape, some form. Some of you have been gifted with administrative gifts or leadership gifts or help gifts in which you're serving people. There's a number of different ways in which God has gifted his church. So there's no excuses in that sense. And what does the last sentence says? It says, use them, use these gifts, use them well to serve one another. Basically, we have a responsibility. If God has gifted us, we have to serve other people. What if God has given you a specific gift or talent and you don't use that to serve? You don't use that to help other people. What would we call that type of person? Someone who is selfish, right? I have this, it's mine, and I'm not going to share it, right? It's no different than kids in the nursery who are fighting over this toy or gift, right? That's my toy, that's mine. God, if God has given you a gift, and he definitely has, we need to use it. We're always better together. Gary Chapman has something called the 5 different love languages, and these are ways in which we show our love to other people. And these are good to know, and these are good to understand. But there's 5 different love languages or ways in which we have an opportunity to serve other people. And the 5 are this. There's words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch. These are different ways in which we can serve and show our affection or our love for somebody else. Words of affirmation are sharing encouraging words or sharing different things to encourage people. It could be a letter, it could be a text message, but we thrive on affirming people. The second is acts of service, doing service things for people, projects around the house or things of that nature. The third one is receiving gifts. Some people are really good at giving gifts, and they love to receive a gift. That's how they show their love and their affection. The fourth one is quality time. Sometimes I just want to spend specific quality time with an individual. And the fifth one is physical touch. Now, Karis has the gift of physical touch. I'm just going to tell you. Serious story here. I thought I'd share this. But on my day off, I woke up, and my daughter comes running into my room, and she looks me in the face, and I'm in my bed, and she says this. She says, Dad, I just want to jump on you. That was her way of saying, I love you. That was her way of saying, I want to spend time with you. But it's going to be in a physical touch, kind of fun type of way. And guess what she did? She climbed on the bed and she jumped on her daddy, right? But there's different ways to serve someone. For Karis, it's pretty simple, right? It's to do that in a kind of rough house and kind of fun type of way. But when we're serving different people, we have to understand that they have these different love languages. And when we do something to serve someone, maybe we have to speak their language. In other words, we know this person really appreciates acts of service, doing things around the house, so we have to do that and speak that language to show that we're serving and encouraging them. But there's a limitless way to serve people, right? You can do it through a text message. You can do it through a phone call. You can do it through a house project. You can do it by giving a gift to them. You can do it by spending quality time or by appropriate physical touch. There's a number of different ways in which we can show that we want to serve someone. My point in saying this is that we have to think, okay, who's this person that I want to serve? Who's this person we're encouraged? And what's going to really boost up their love tank? What can we do to really show that we want to serve them and encourage them? When you serve people, think about it this way. You leave a fingerprint in their lives. Bud Keller means nothing to you, but he means a great deal to me because he served. And he left his fingerprint on my life as a third grade Sunday school teacher. His name and his person mean something significant to me. When you serve other people, you leave a fingerprint in their lives. You'll leave a Bud Keller type of mark in someone else's life. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to officiate a wedding of a couple that comes to Legacy Church. It was a great time. But one of the most meaningful times about the whole wedding was I had a former student who I used to have in middle school. Now she's out of college and has a job, so it made me feel old. But she came to me afterward, and she pulled me aside and said, "Hey, Dan, I just want to let you know that I went through a real similar situation that you did many years ago. And I was able to watch how you handled the situation. I was able to watch how you did things and try to do things as lovingly and graceful as possible. And it allowed me to handle things in the same manner, even though they were really hard and difficult." And for me, that blessed my heart. Because I wasn't even knowing that someone was watching me years ago and they knew the situation. But it gave them an opportunity to, like, encourage me by saying, "You left a fingerprint in my heart. You left a fingerprint in my life because you served in this way and you handled it in this fashion." People are always watching. When you serve other people, you leave a fingerprint in their lives. You leave a Bud Keller type of fingerprint in their life. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Inheritance is what you leave behind for someone, and a legacy is what you leave behind in someone. Think about that. An inheritance, possessions, things, stuff, is what you leave behind for someone after you pass away. But if you want to leave a fingerprint in someone's life, you want to leave a legacy in someone's life, then we have to be a church that serves other people. You could leave a Bud Keller type of legacy in someone's life just by serving and saying, "Yes, I'll volunteer to help in that particular fashion." After a message like this, I just want to share this with you. When it comes to the Church of Jesus, we don't want something from you in regards to service. We want something for you. People are like, "Well, Pastor Dan, like, you want me to serve and you push me to serve." It's like, I don't want something from you. I want something for you. Because when you serve and you join what we call the Church of Jesus and we link arms, we're stronger and better together. Because we all have gifts, we all have talents, we all have this ability to reach people for Jesus, and we're stronger when we do that together. I don't want something from you. I want something for you. Because when we serve and we do it together, then the Church of Jesus is always and significantly better. And that's why we have a station back there, an opportunity for you to say, I'm interested in this. We have all different ways. We have 14 different volunteer teams in which we need people to help and to serve. Real simple and real easy. But my question to the church is really simple. Are we authentic in our love for Jesus? And we show that by serving other people. Which one are you when it comes to being on this table? Are you the real deal? Do you love people? Do we serve people? Or are you just a simple labeled Christian that has no substance behind it? I'm going to pray, and this is what I encourage you to do. Will you simply put your hands out like this, and you can lay them on your knees. And I love to pray for you. Just simply put your hands out. You can put them on your knees and uphold them this way. But let me pray. Dear Jesus, we're a church that has our hands open. And my prayer is that we'd always be a church with our hands open. That we'd want to see things from you, that we'd want to learn things from you, and that we're open to being used in many different shapes and forms. And so my prayer is that we'd always be a hand-open type of church. God, whatever way in which you want to help me, whatever way you want to use me, whatever way in which you want to use my gifts, I will do whatever it takes. Help us to be a church that when people on the outside see us, we're known for serving other people. We're known for loving other people. We're known for having our hands open. And help us to be a church that will not just hear the things of God, but be doers of the things of God as well. And thanks for a church that cares. I'm so thankful to be the pastor of Legacy Church. So thankful to be part of a church that has encouraged me, that has built me up. And my prayer is that we continue to be a church that does those things and that takes those things serious. Help us to be a church that's authentic in our love for you, that's known as being the real deal, that we love Jesus with our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and we do our best to serve people as best we can. And just thanks for the ability and the privilege we have of doing that together, hand in hand and with hands wide open. So seek our hearts, God. Seek our minds as we have our hands open, and help us to think of ways in which we can continue to serve our spouses, to serve our kids, to serve our co-workers, to serve our employees, to serve our bosses, to serve our students and our teachers. What are ways in which we can be a blessing and use us, God, as you would see fit? God, we pray these things in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen.